Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 verses 1 to 3 and then 8 to 12. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink, and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portion of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them.
The readings from Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 37. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me."
Thank you to our readers, to Isabel Hull and to Rachel, Joan Vaughan's daughter Rachel. Thank you for doing that. That's great. And apologies to Tim for all these cathedral bits. There's 10 different ways of doing each of those, and we should have sort of worked a bit harder at how we were going to do it. No matter. They're good fun, aren't they? Anyway, we're looking at the book of Nehemiah, and it's not a very well-known story, I know. So the story so far is this, that Nehemiah is obviously a Jew, an Israelite, who's been carried off into exile. His people, the Jews, had been faithful to God, so the Babylonians had carried them off to Babylonia, far away, as captives, 597 BC, so just under 600 years before Jesus. And the Jews settled down in Babylon, far, far away. Then the Persians invaded the Babylonians and conquered them. And the Persians were kinder, and they let the Jews return to Jerusalem, their home country, home city, if they wanted to. Frankly, not everybody did. Some folk had got very comfortable in Babylon, and so they stayed there. And Nehemiah was one of those who remained far away from home, an expat, if you like, in the city of Susa, which is actually in modern-day Iran, Persia. Very nice place at the top of the Persian Gulf, but it wasn't home. And he was an expat, and there was probably a little community of them out there. But 150 years after the captivity had started, if you like, 444 BC, Nehemiah hears that some have gone home, but things are still a bit run down in the old country. And he feels that he ought to go back to Jerusalem and sort it out. And so he asks the Persian king's permission, gets permission, gets lots of resources and even a guard to go with him. And he goes back to Jerusalem, the old home country. And he begins to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, of the city. And he does a brilliant job, masterly piece of work. And now, in this reading that was read to us with Ezra the priest, they have to establish a government. They've rebuilt the walls, they've done the physical work. Now they've got to decide what's their constitution as a nation. They've got to work out some laws. What kind of a nation do they want to be? A little bit perhaps like post-war Britain, maybe, where we had that kind of debate going on. Okay, so what now? What's going to happen to our country? Or even, dare I say it, post-Brexit Britain. What kind of a nation do we want to be? I've actually been reading the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby's latest book, Reimagining Britain. And he looks at exactly those questions. What kind of Britain do we want? We've got an opportunity, if you like, to reshape our country and to think, what are our values going to be? It's quite a tough question, starting like that with almost a blank sheet of paper. And in Nehemiah's day, they were very clear. They wanted to start with God. They were a nation defined by their belief in God. And so they started with God's word in Scripture. They were very clear that God had first place in their country. After all, why would you not want to be with the big man? Why would you not want to be on the winning side? And God had told them already how they should live. They knew that. It's just that they hadn't blown the dust off their Bibles and opened them in a long time. Much, dare I say it, like many families today. After all, we've got Bibles, haven't we? We can read, most of us, can't we? We can get hold of modern, easy-to-read translations. We can listen to audio books, reading the Bible aloud for us. We can watch films and videos of the Bible. You can get it on your phone or your tablet. There's basically no problem getting hold of the Bible. It's just whether you want to or not. It's just basically, it's a choice that each of us makes. God has given you his word. Some have called it the owner's manual for human beings. Some have called it the instructions for living life itself. Whenever things go wrong, or even if you just want to know how to get the best out of life, read the scriptures. Read this. When a monarch is crowned, she's given a copy of the Bible, and she's told that this is the most precious thing that this world affords. Others have described this book as dynamite because of the life-changing, world-altering message that it contains. And certainly it had a powerful effect on the people of Israel in the story of Nehemiah. Olympic athlete Chris Akabusi, some of you will remember seeing him running. He was alone in his hotel room in a competition, and he picked up a Gideon Bible, and he was captivated. He found Jesus in the Bible. And he said it was just like finding a love letter addressed to him personally. God loves you. God loves me. How much? Well, enough to die for you. And so the people of Israel in Nehemiah's day heard the word of God. It was explained to them, and they understood it, perhaps for the first time. And they changed their way of life. And they began to live according to the Maker's instructions. And they celebrated, because this day was the first day of the rest of their lives. Indeed, the first day of eternal life, life living God's way, living with God. Fast forward a bit to Jesus' day, to our New Testament reading. And Jesus was also teaching his followers about God's kingdom. But they were not quick to get the point of what he was teaching. They kept sort of going back to behaving how they used to. Who's the greatest? I'm the greatest. No, I am. Oh, no, you're not. And Jesus heard all this and he did the rabbi thing. He sat down to teach and he called the 12 to him and they sat around him at his feet. And he taught them, anyone who wants to be first must be last and the servant of all. And they must have scratched their heads a bit, I think, mustn't they? Because the world looks for greatness, doesn't it? It looks for who's boss, who's in charge, who's got the power. But Jesus said things are different in God's kingdom. They're almost upside down, a reversed social order. Jesus said the important thing is serving others, not lording it over them or ruling over them. And actually, Jesus himself is our best example of that, of serving others. And then what he did was he placed a child right in the middle of his disciples, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." What he was saying was the kingdom is about serving others, even to the point of self-sacrifice, which is, of course, what Jesus did. And it's also about welcoming children, the lowest rank in society in those days. So, if we want to get back to basics, how do I follow Jesus as a Christian? Well, I think one good starting point is to read the Bible in a modern version that you can read and understand. In Nehemiah's day, they opened the scriptures, it was read to them, and then it was explained to them what it meant, how they could understand the old language. How do I find God? Read the scriptures, read his word to us. How do I live life to the max? How do I do life well? Read the Maker's instructions and learn how to do things right. And then again, what are the priorities? What's important? And it's almost the opposite of what the world believes. Jesus said it's about serving others. It's about self-sacrifice. And it's about coming to God like a child, simply, single-mindedly. So let's pray that we might do that. Let's just pray now. Father, guide us as we come to your word, like Nehemiah and Ezra taught the people to do. Help us, Lord, to open your word, to learn from you, and to follow you and serve you and others, simply and single-mindedly, for Christ's sake. Amen.